This is your host, Jason Snurgrove, and I will be your guide as we journey down the road to pleasure hunt or hitting the long trail to those great cob hunts. This is the Coonhound Collective
Podcast. You hear me in there, Judge?
Welcome back to another week of the Coonhound Collective Podcast. I'm glad to have you back this week. I'm here with my co-host once again. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, but he's got some ideas. So, what's up, Big Money?
Good to be back.
Good to have you.
Yeah.
What are we talking about tonight?
You're going to have to roll back on that Big Money stuff.
Well, until you prove me wrong.
I got a good idea.
Okay, what is it?
Let's talk about turkeys.
Oh, we are not talking about turkeys again tonight. We are done with the turkeys.
Why not?
That was
a good one.
Oh, it was. I agree. It was a good one. But
yeah, we got people stirred up on that.
Yeah, we're good on the turkeys for a while.
I got one maybe better than that, though.
All right.
I got a great idea.
All right.
I'm going to catch you off guard on this one.
All right. What's your idea now?
Well, I was just thinking. You know, you interview everybody all the time. You're the creator of this awesome podcast and the man with the radio voice.
I don't know about that.
So I think we just need to ask you some questions and kind of spin this thing around and tell us about Jason Snellgrove.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this will be a short one.
No. You've got a lot to say.
I always have something to say, but I don't know. I've not had no dogs win nothing big.
I've never done no podcast interviews, so this is just good practice. See, start on you.
You can practice interviewing me now, so when I win the world hunt next year,
there we go.
You'll be the first one to get the interview.
I'll do it.
Okay,
that'll be good.
All right, well, fire away.
So when you guys go about this, you're like, tell us a little bit about yourself and.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
Pretty much.
Tell us a little bit about you. A lot of listeners don't know. You're interviewing and talking to everybody else, and so we're going to spin this back on you and find out about Jason Snellgrove.
Okay. Well, let's see. I'm from Southeast Alabama. If most people should know that, if they don't already, from a little community called Webb, Alabama. I have two brothers and two sisters, and been some kind of way around or doing something with some type of coon dog for pretty much as long as I can remember.
Yeah, but how far can you remember?
It's pretty good ways back. I remember the first hunting trip I ever been on was my dad had a pair of red bones. Only red bones I've ever been around in my life that I could remember being around anyway. And he had a pair of red bones that a guy gave him because they were supposed to be deer dogs and they would tree coons during the daytime. They wouldn't run deer. So he gave them to my dad because he wanted deer dogs. And my dad had them coon hunting and he took me on his back. In the woods. I remember the first coon hunting trip I remember was him toting me on his back through a swamp to the two dogs treed.
Red bones.
With a coon.
Red bones with a coon. Yeah. Plussed up.
A pair.
In the swamp.
And I give you one guess of what their names were. Female and male.
Oh gosh, that's a tough one.
Dan and Ann.
I wonder how many red bone dogs' pups have been named Dan and Ann.
I guarantee a bunch of them.
There has been a pile of them. So yeah. Your dad got you into coon hunting.
Well, kind of. He quit shortly after that, but my stepdad, he was an avid coon hunter until his old dog died. And when his old dog died, he was done. But his dog was probably the best dog I've ever been in the woods with.
Your stepdad's dog?
Yeah.
What kind of dog was it?
It was a walker dog.
Hey. Why are you talking so quiet?
It had no brown on it. It was a black and white walker dog.
Really?
Yeah, and he was a coon dog.
Registered coon dog?
Registered, UKC registered.
How was that thing bred, do you know?
I don't remember. He always told me it was a Bartow bred dog, but I don't know.
Bartow?
Bartow. But really? He looked a lot like those Clover bred dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And this would have probably been, I don't remember the years on Clover, but this would probably been pre-Clover. And he was a loud son of a gun.
He was?
Yeah.
So you started out with Red Bones, moved on to Walker Dogs.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, let's see.
So you just hunted... You hunted whatever tree a coon.
Whatever my stepdad had. When my dad, when he quit, he quit. He was done. So my stepdad had that Walker dog, and I mean, he pretty much just had the one dog, and that's what we hunted. We had a few different Walker puppies, and some, I think we had a blue tick puppy one time, and I mean, we pretty much just whatever. He was real picky. It had to suit him, and it had to be a certain way. So, it's probably somewhere around 12, I guess, or 13. I think I was 12 or 13. A buddy of mine, Jamie Henderson, went to school together, and we coon hunted together. We decided we had to have our own dogs. So, he lived in a little town there, and I grew up in the country, and farm peanuts, and I mean, we lived rural like I do now. And we decided we wanted our own dog, so he found this male tree and walker named Drummer, and I found this female walker dog, and her name was Daisy. And they were, Daisy wasn't registered. I don't remember if Drummer was or not, but they were probably somewhere around 2 or 3 years old when we got them. And we had them for about a little over a year.
Ripping it. 2 and 3 year old and just really ripping
it. Well, they was ripping something. We had those dogs for a little over a year. I don't remember exactly how long, a little over a year. And in that year, we treed one raccoon. And we hunted every night. We treed one raccoon. And you talking about two excited young people when that dog had a coon treat.
Okay, let's back up here just a second. You hunted a whole year and treed one raccoon.
One raccoon with those dogs.
Did they ever get treed slick and have dens and?
Oh yeah,
possums.
No possums. So
no game.
Lot of deer races, and let me explain why. Drummer was a big 65-pound male dog, red-headed walker, like a walker dog looks. Daisy was about a 45-pound, real light blonde color head that I later found out she was a July. So fast forward back to the year that we had dealt with this mess. I mean, we were dedicated hunters, I'll tell you that. But
well, you had to go a whole year and tree one coon.
So fast forward about a year, and this guy come up, and he was a dog hunter that run deer. And these dogs, they would blister a deer. And he come up, and I guess somebody, my stepdad had told him or something. Anyway, he bought the dogs. And they were, he said, the best two deer dogs he ever owned in his life. So that put me out of the hound business pretty much. I think we might have had a puppy or something running around, or I don't remember. But
so you didn't get off on a good start with walker dogs. No wonder you're not hunting a walker dog right now.
Yeah. No, that was not a good start. And I'm trying to remember how this story pieced together, but I guess we had to get Rock next. Yeah, we had to. My stepdad is one of them that he can find anything that you're looking for. And he owns a flip phone. He don't even, still today, he don't even have a, a smartphone, but if you want it, he can find it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how, but one Saturday morning, I think we had tried a bunch of dogs and he had took me and we had tried some dogs and we never could find just what we were looking for, what he thought would be a good dog for. So one Saturday morning he sent in that we were going to go find a coon dog. So he had a little Nissan pickup truck. We get in this Nissan pickup truck and we're riding these back roads everywhere. And we go by this house and he stops in the road and he said, "I just found y'all's coon dog." And he backs up and there's this old gray face walker dog tied to a bumper of a truck.
Another walker dog.
With like a hay bale string. That's what he was tied with.
Wow.
And I said, "That dog ain't
going." Hey, when was this? Like what?
This was probably be late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. Maybe 90. Something like that. He said, "I'm telling you, that dog right there are three coons." And I thought, there's no way. So we back up. We pull in the driveway. And I mean, it's a rough. This is real rural southern Alabama, northern Florida. We're 7 miles from the Florida line where this house is at.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's rough. And you can tell these people are poor. And I mean, you just tell. So we get out of the truck. And as we go to the front door, I notice the door is not on hinges. It's literally leaned in the hole. Like, mm-hmm. just leaned up in the hole. And so my stepdad knocks on the wall next to the door. And you can hear somebody coming. I mean, like, somebody big coming. And when he gets there, he just reaches around on both sides of that door. And you see these big old sausage-looking fingers grab that door. And he just sets it off to the side. And he's got overalls on, kind of like I got, with no shirt. They're cut off about shin high and no shoes on, barefooted. And he was the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. Well, he had a twin brother that looked just like him. They were dressed just like and everything, redheaded. And my stepdad said, "That dog for sale?" And he said, "Well, yeah, he could be bought." And I don't know why he did. My stepdad said, "I'd give you $125 for him." You might as well have told them that you'd give him $1 million. They couldn't get that dog put in the back of the truck quick enough. So here we got this. And as we get to go get in the truck, my stepdad said, "Oh, what do y'all call him?" "Oh, we just call him Rock." So he's just a grade walker dog. I don't know anything about his breeding or anything. So we got this dog. He don't have a collar. We got a baling for a hay bale string around his neck and just tied in the back of the truck. He just riding the back of the truck.
Oh, my God.
Here we go home. So we're going home, and I said, "What makes you think this dog will tree a coon?" And he said, "Do you see them two boys, how they were living?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Them boys is eating what that dog trees. They ain't feeding that dog if it ain't producing some type of game for the table."
Mm-hmm.
And that always stuck with me ever since then. So we get him home, and my stepdad, they wasn't no laying no dog up for, which I think you kind of know that about me. If I get one, I'm gonna, usually if it comes in on a dog collar, we're going that night.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of the way he is. They ain't no, "Well, let's let the dog get used to us." No, he's going hunting that night. So we have these, a lot of spots I had to hunt was in between two fields. It'd be, you know, probably 300 yards, 400 yards wide, and it'd be half a mile, three quarters of a mile long, just section the woods in between two fields. We had a bunch of those. So that night we turn him loose. He goes in there and trees a coon. And of course, back then, everybody, you know, you go tree a coon, you load up, you go to the next spot. You know, that's the way most everybody hunting. So we done that. I think we treed two or three coons that night. And first night out with him. And man, he really looked good. He was probably, if I'd had him when he was 4 or 5 years old, man, there's no telling. The dog just, you know, his mouth was already gone. The dog was so old, he had no teeth in the front. Yeah. When you shot the coon out, you had to shoot the coon to kill him because he'd kill that dog. I mean, he just didn't have no teeth.
The old toothless walker dog.
The old toothless walker dog. But if he got one just right, he could kill it. But
not to death.
Yeah, he was rough.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you a funny story I kind of tell myself here. I hunted a lot by myself. I started driving at a young age because I grew up on a farm. So when I was 12, 13 years old, I was driving a vehicle. And I would go out and hunt a lot at night by myself with this dog, just me and Rock. And I'd probably had him, I don't know, 6 months, maybe a year. And that same first place that we took him that first night, it was easy walking. It'd get a little thick and viney in the summertime, but it held a little bit of like wet weather creek, wet weather pond, like water in it when it rained a little bit. So we'd always stop at the road, turn the dog loose right in the middle of that, right off the hard road, right in the middle of that. You kind of send them north on it. And then we'd pull down to the east side and then just drive up beside this head of wood so far and then stop and get out of the truck and, you know, just listen to the dog, wait on the dog to get treed. So I pulled up there, got out, turned the dog loose, got back in the truck, drove around, drove about, I don't know, halfway, a little between quarter and halfway up this side of woods. And I was just sitting there on the tailgate. And all of a sudden I heard this just god-awful, dog ain't barked, dog ain't said a word, crickets ain't chirping. I mean, it's quiet. It's just one of those quiet, you know, you've been in the woods enough, mm-hmm. you know, one of them quiet nights, ain't nothing moving or sounding or nothing. So the dog, I don't know what it was at this point, but there's just, I don't know, just this noise. And it sounded like something just grabbed something and just twisted its head off. That's what it sounded like to me. So.
bunch of squalling, bunch of.
No, not a bunch of squalling or nothing. It was just one quick sound and it was over. As a kid growing up, both my granddads was real bad to tease me about Bigfoot. I mean bad, because they knew I coon hunted, you know, at night by myself. So they teased me real bad about Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Well, when this happened, and of course, if Daniel Felker listens to this, he'll probably get a kick out of this, being they tell them type of stories over there on that podcast, the Coonhound Confidentials. When this happened, I'm sitting there on the tailgate and I'm thinking, what is that? What was that noise? So immediately I thought, something's got my dog. So I start calling the dog and I'm calling. And he ain't saying a word. The dog ain't barked since I turned him loose. Nothing. And so the longer I'm standing there, the scarier I'm getting. Because the dog ain't, there's nothing making no noise anywhere.
No tracking system.
Oh, no.
No. Four tracking system. Yeah. No.
Well, they had. I live just outside of Dothan, Alabama, where Quick Track was.
Yeah.
They had those, but we. No, my stepdad said you didn't need a tracking system. You go to the dog when he's treed.
Yeah.
That was his motto.
Yeah.
There was no tracking system. I didn't have a tracking system until I moved to Illinois mm-hmm. in 2014 or 15. So I'm sitting there and I'm calling, the dog won't come, and I'm thinking, man, something's got my dog. And I ain't going in them woods looking for him.
Poor thing can't fight back very much anyway.
So I go to the house. I get in the truck. I go down. We live probably, I don't know, about 4 miles from this place. So I go down the house, tell my stepdad. I said, listen, I said, something's happened to Rock. I don't know what's going on. I said, but I think something got him and killed him in the woods. And he said, what do you think it is? I said, I don't know. You know, granddad told me about them Bigfoots. It might have been Bigfoot. I don't know. But I ain't going in them woods by myself. I'm not real scary like that either. And I ain't never been. I've always just went off and hunted by myself. But I'm telling you what, that just kind of didn't sit well with me. So he said, explain to me what happened. So I go through the whole thing, tell him the whole thing what happened. And he gets tickled. Like he already knows what's happened. So he said, come on. So we get in the truck and we drive back and he said, just park where you was parked at. He said, now exactly how far from this truck did you hear that sound? I said, well, I was sitting here on the tailgate and I said, and it sounded like it was 30 yards in the woods in there straight beside me. And he starts in the wood and I said, hey, you ain't going to get no gun. He said, you don't need no gun. So, you know, you've been where you go out of a field into the woods and the first 10, 20 feet of it's real thick, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever. And then when you get through it and you get in some big timber, it kind of opens up. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of the way all this was. You had privet hedges right there on the edge, and he gets through the privet hedge. And of course I'm trying to get through, and I get through it. And when I step around him, there's Rock with a coon that he had caught on the ground and killed. And he was gnawing him. He was gumming him down. And that was the racket that I heard.
You'd never experienced a walker dog with no teeth chewing on a goon.
No, I don't know.
You didn't know what the sound was.
I didn't know if it was the pop of the gums against the fur or what, but he had him down and had him killed. I mean, you know, that dog, unfortunately, wasn't registered. I didn't know his pedigree or anything, but, man, I treated a lot of coons with that old dog.
The old toothless walker dog.
Me and my brother, we treat a heap of coons with him.
The breed won you back over after them first two when you got toothless walker dog.
Well, I guess I didn't stay with them, but, and that's nothing because of them, but yeah, I guess so. It's just kind of what we had to hunt type thing. You know, we didn't have a lot of money to go out and spend a bunch of money on a dog. Mm-hmm. Now I think when my stepdad bought that first, his dog's name was Jim. When he bought Jim, and this would have been back in probably the early 80s, mm-hmm. he gave $1,000 for him as a 8-week-old puppy. And that was a lot of money. A lot of money then.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got?
Well, you covered a lot. I remember you telling me some stories once. I think you ought to share it, that you're not too good with a 22 rifle. Oh.
Yeah.
We, ever since you told me, I've been a little nervous around you a little bit with them things.
Well, it was...
I mean, is this right? Like, am I remembering this right? That you almost shot your whole family or something? Yeah. Your mom and your brother?
Yeah. So, we had Rock.
Man, I'm glad we can laugh about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. Trust me, me too. We had Rock, and we'd had him for a year and a half or something. I mean, he was just a solid coon dog.
I'd had to have given him a new name.
Well, we had the spot we hunted, and it was on what it's spelled OMUSSE, but they call it Mercy Creek. Uh-huh. And if you can picture, which people won't understand this, but if you go to Branson, Missouri ever, you'll understand. But Lake Taneycomo, half that wide, banks twice that tall, and it's just a full of water running creek. It's summertime, snakes and alligators, you know, are out. So dog gets treed. We start into him. We're on the wrong side of the creek. So immediately we have to find a place to cross. And it ain't like creeks here. You don't find like a rock place to cross. I mean, it's deep. You either swim it or you find a tree that's blowed over across it. Mm-hmm. I find a tree. It's a big tree, blowed over. The stump side's on our side and the top's, you know, on the other side. And I tell my brother, I said, my brother is 6 years younger than me. And I tell my brother, I said, stay right here. Let me get to the top and get my hands on a limb. And then, you know, I'll turn around and throw you a dog lead or whatever, help you get across. Mm-hmm. So he said, okay. So I get across. I'm standing in the top, probably 3/4 of the way across this thing over the water still. And my brother gets on the log and he starts to me. And he, you know, kind of shakes like he's going to fall off this thing. And I said, hey, don't, just calm down, slow down. We're not in a hurry. He ain't going nowhere. And so I take the stock, the butt end of the gun, and I've got it by the barrel with the magazine, where I don't even remember what kind of gun this is, but I'll describe the gun. Maybe somebody I know, where with what would be the trigger and the magazine pointing away from both of us. So I've got the gun like this, mm-hmm. and I reach out to him and I hand him the butt of that gun. He gets it to steady himself. And as he's coming to me, I'm pulling the gun to me. And as I'm pulling the gun to me, of course, the barrel, as I'm bending my elbow, the barrel is pointing away from us and me. Well, all of a sudden, the gun goes off. Mm. So we get across, and that kind of freaked both of us out. we get over there and I look, safety's on, and the gun went off. And I was like, hey, why'd you pull that trigger? He was like, I didn't touch that trigger. And I was like, you had to have. So I checked the gun, put jack a new shell in there.
Was it a bolt action?
I think so. I think I remember it being a bolt action. And this was traumatizing to me. So, because I was thinking, man, this could have killed me or my brother.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And after this night, this gun never got hunted with again. We jack a shell in there. And, you know, I got it on safety. I'm pulling the trigger. And it ain't shooting. And I'm thinking, what? This gun just shot. And so I'm standing there. And I just take the palm of my hand. And I just hit the back of the stock as hard as I can. Gun goes off again. And I thought, okay. Unload the gun. So we unload the gun. We go in the rock. He's got a coon. We load it. We shoot the coon out. Unload the gun. And instead of trying to do all that again, we beat briars. There's lots of briars in Alabama. We beat briars back to the road. Walk down the road. Get the truck. We go home.
Walked all the way around. You didn't come back across the
water? No water. So we go home, and I don't know, it's probably only like 10 o'clock at night. My mom and my stepdad, they're still up. And so we go in the living room, and I tell my stepdad, I said, hey, there's something wrong with this gun. He said, there ain't nothing wrong with that gun. So I loaded it, and he said, give it here. And he grabbed it, and he pulled the trigger. You know, he's pointing it at the floor of the house. My stepdad has this old farmhouse, got real hardwood floors in it, and it had a big area rug in the living room. And he's pointing it at the floor, pulling the trigger. And he says, see, there ain't nothing wrong with that gun.
With the safety on.
With the safety on. So he hands me the gun. My mom's sitting on the couch and my stepdad's sitting in a recliner.
Oh, boy.
And I said, let me show you. So he hands the gun back to me. And I've got it pointed at the floor. And I'm standing right in front of my mom, not pointing towards her. I'm pointing the gun away from everybody but at the floor. And I take the palm of my hand and I hit the back of that stock. And that gun goes off, shoots a hole through our living room floor.
My God.
And the hole's still in the floor today. It ain't never been fixed. It's still there. And this, I cannot remember what kind of gun this is. The only thing I can tell you is in the butt stock of this gun, it had like this T handle. You'd turn and you'd pull it back. And then in the side of the stock, it had like this burnt looking knot hole. And you
put, that's where the bullets went in.
You put bullets in there and then you shove the T handle back and lock it.
Now, them Browning automatics had a... Wasn't a Browning, was it? Was it a semi-automatic? No, it had a bolt, you said.
I'm pretty sure it had a bolt. I don't remember what kind it was now, but...
I know them Browning automatics had a tube fed.
Needless to say, it didn't take my stepdaddy but just a second to get up out of that chair, and I handed him the gun, and we graduated to a Ruger 10/22.
And ain't looked back.
No, I still got one.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. If you looking through some notes there, you ain't going to find no notes where I've won nothing big now. We just going to talk about old junk dogs if you're going to talk to me.
All right, so let's move ahead here after Toothless Wonder. What'd you get next?
I knew Rock was, he was already old when we got him. And so,
yeah.
And we didn't know how old. And so I knew if I wanted to keep a hound, I had to find something else. So, I guess I'd done what any other teenage kid would do, that didn't really know where to go find a hound. You know, I'd done some riding around and really couldn't find anything. And somebody told me about a man in Brantley, Alabama. And I wish I could remember his name. He's a good guy, but he's a dog trader.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this, I think it was a Marlin 22 and some money or whatever. And I got two or three dogs from him. And he had this black and white walker dog that looked a lot like my stepdad's old gym dog. And I said, hey, of course, it was probably one of them dog trader tricks. He had him tied right up there by the front door instead of the one 40 acres back or whatever. But that's what I always think about now. I think, yeah, he probably had that good-looking sucker tied up there on purpose. So I said, what you want for that dog? And I think he told me $100 or $150 or something like that. And I had this old Marlin 22 that had the little BB on the end of the barrel.
Yeah.
It had been knocked off. And I hung it on a vine one night and ripped it off. Mm-hmm. And I said, I got a 22 rifle. I'll trade you for it. And he said, okay, I'll do that. And I should have knew then there was something wrong.
Took you up on it too fast, didn't he?
Way too fast.
So, didn't even see the gun.
Yeah, no, I was dragging it out of the truck when he said, yeah, I'll do that. I'll never forget, he wore cowboy hats and he was kind of half hunched over and had these old pointy toe cockroach killer cowboy boots on. And couldn't hardly get around, but he, I mean, if you said, he probably had 250 dogs there. And if you said,
really, yeah,
what's that dog there? I just rattle off. He probably baffling you with something. Because,
oh yeah.
Cause there ain't no way he knew.
Dazzling and baffling.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Oh yeah.
250 dogs.
Oh yeah. They were as far as you could see behind his house.
Wow.
Yeah. Just up and down hills back
he
there.
He was the real deal then.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I get this dog, and I don't even remember what this dog's name was. He didn't stay at the house very long. But me and my brother was big into showing hogs. I mean, we showed hogs every year, and we won every year. I mean, we took it serious. We won the state several times and grand show, reserve, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we had our show hogs, and they were about ready. So we get this dog home, and all of our dog kennels are raised. My stepdad believed, and I don't know, maybe somebody can verify this, he believes this to this day, dogs that are raised off the ground 13 inches or higher will never have heartworm from mosquitoes.
Really?
He swears mosquitoes that carry heartworms fly 13 inches or lower to the ground. That's the craziest thing I ever
never
heard
that in my life.
Me neither till him, but he truly believes that. I mean, he really does. He won't have a dog on the ground.
If you've heard this before... You can go to The Coonhound Collective on Facebook,
yeah,
and message Jason and confirm that.
Yeah. He swears by it. I'm telling you. Two center blocks high is what the pens had to be.
I'll be.
I'd put one. He said, no. You got to put two. And so anyway, all of our pens was raised. And mm-hmm. Like we had some doubles. And then we had some singles. And so we had a single off by itself. And instead of having 2x6, you know, running the floor like slats, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. and screwed down, we just had a piece of 3/4-inch treated plywood in the floor of this one. It's 4x8 pin with a dog box built on the back. You just wash it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to school and got out of school, come home. And our chore was feed dogs, feed chickens, work hogs, feed hogs. So we get home. My brother, he starts feeding, and I go to start washing dog pens and feeding. And I start at one end, and we had several dogs at this time. And none of them must have been worth a crap because I can't remember none of them. But I do remember we had several dogs. But I get down to this dog pen, and I notice the dog ain't in the pen. And I thought, what in the world? And I get to looking, and this dog had chewed through a piece of 3/4-inch plywood and got out.
This old black and white one.
This old black and white dog. Our hogs was behind this pen about 75 yards. And so I'm looking around, and I realize, why is them hogs laying down? So I go over there, and every hog we got is dead. We had 6 hogs.
No way.
Every one of them dead. Here comes that black and white dog down the road from the woods, and he's red. Around his mouth, down his chest.
Oh, way.
Yeah. He had killed every show hog we had. My stepdad was some kind. That broke up the whole dog trading, buying dogs. Them days was over.
You bought a hog. You bought a hog dog.
Yeah, I bought a hog dog. That's what I got.
Real deal
a
hog
real
dog.
Real deal hog. They some boys right now probably love to have him.
Killed 6 of them things.
Yeah. Yeah. We had them individually penned. Because we worked them individually, and he got in every pen and killed them, each one of them.
Oh my goodness!
Oh yeah, he was.
Yeah. I bet you guys wasn't happy either.
Oh no, because there's a lot of work involved. And then we had a show coming up. We had to buy older hogs and try to, you know, rework them. And yeah, it was a mess. Needless to say, he got a different address real quick.
The old black, white, and red walker dog is what he became.
Yeah, yeah. So, that wound up the dog trader.
So, all right. So, what next? If you can remember.
Yeah. That was probably my, actually, Well, it wasn't my last walker dog, but it was my last one for a while.
Yeah.
We had a coon club that was, 15, 20 minutes from the house. And, you know, of course, back in the day, you go to the coon club. There was a hunt that on Saturday night. You go to the coon club. I mean, sometimes they'd have breakfast in the mornings, and they'd mm-hmm. do something all day on the grounds. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you'd have some older men playing fiddles or whatever. So
the good old days.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the yard would be full, you know, tree and contest, the whole works. So I'd go down there and a lot of times just sit and listen to, them older guys tell stories. That's why I think I like podcasts and listen to other people's podcasts.
Cause, yeah.
I mean, I just love to hear good stories.
I do too.
So I'd listen to these guys tell stories. And there was his name was James Beasley. Mm-hmm. Great, great man. And his nickname was called Preacher Beasley. And he wasn't actually a preacher, but that's what they called him, Preacher Beasley. And he always said the prayer at the Coon Club.
Oh, okay.
You know, all this stuff.
That must have been how he got his nickname.
Yeah. So him and Lafayette Dickerson was real tight. And they had black and tans. And, man, they'd pull them black and tans, and they'd be, they'd get ready for the bench show or whatever. And, I mean, they'd be slick and shiny and, man, they were good-looking, houndy-looking, big-bone, big-eared dogs.
Nothing prettier than a shiny black and tan.
It was good-looking. I think Preacher Beasley, I was fixing to turn 15. That's what it was. This would have been probably June or July, and my birthday's in August. I was fixing to turn 15. And so I had kind of took up with Preacher Beasley. I'd go down there, and he kind of befriended me or whatever, and I'd go down there, and he had this old Ford truck, and he just opened the pens up. He lived right on the highway, and he'd open the pens up, and he said, "Let's go," and them dogs just go get in the truck. I mean, he never put a lead on these dogs. We'd go down the road, and we'd go hunting, and he almost got to the point he couldn't really get in and out of the woods real good, so but he loved to listen to them dogs. So I'd go with him. I'd go down there once or twice a week just so he could go, and I'd go get the dogs and come back. He had this 4-year-old black and tan male dog he called Rebel. And, man, he was, big-headed, big-eared, good-looking, had a mouth on him, dog. And I said one night, what would it take for somebody like me to be able to find and buy a dog like Rebel? The other two dogs he had was a little bit older. And he said, "Well, I'd just sell you Rebel." I said, I'd have to talk to my daddy. I don't know if I got the money to buy him. I worked our farm, but, I worked and I didn't actually get a paycheck. My dad just, he'd say, I'd say, "I want this" or whatever, and he'd give me the money for it. Type mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
It was just what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, what would you have to have for him?" And he told me $600. And I thought, there ain't no way my dad's going to pay $600 for a dog. And so I'd go down there and I'd hunt with him. And my birthday was coming up. My dad, I was saving everything I could save, trying to get the money up to buy this dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had maybe $300 saved up or something like that. And my dad said, "What do you want for your birthday?" And I told him, I said, "Preacher Beasley got old black and tan down there that I want to buy." And I said, "And I've got half the money if you'd give me the other half." And he was like, "Okay, yeah. How much is it?" I said, $600. He said, "For half?"
For half.
And I said, "No, that's the whole price of the dog." I said, "I've saved every money I made from throwing hay bales or whatever I made money from. I've saved $300. And he said, "Okay, I'll do that." So he gave me $300, and I went and bought the dog.
Nice.
And I had Rebel. This would have been probably 94, maybe. Maybe 94, 90, 95, something like that. And me and Tina got married in 99, and I had Rebel until 2000. So, ever what that is, he'd have been 11 or 12 years old
mm-hmm.
when he died. Matter of fact, me and this dog was I mean, I didn't have any other dogs at the time but him. For a long time, I only had him. So we, I mean, if I went to the river, I took the dog to the river with me. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just in the pen, the coon dog. I mean, if I was, you know, hauling peanut wagon back and forth to the mill, he was in the truck going with me.
You guys had a bond. You were buddies.
I took my senior pictures with this dog. No joke.
That's nice.
So, So I had him. I hunted him in a few competition hunts. I never did title him out. I don't remember how many cast wins I had in UKC. He did place fourth in an AKC World Qualifier.
Really?
I still got the plaque for it. I had him, like I said, until, I mean, he was old, and he just, you know, finally just passed away. But through that, right before I got him, Preacher Beasley had bred him to another female. And he, one day I was there at the house, and Preacher Beasley, I heard his truck pulley, and he had this, I think it was like a 71 or 2.4 two-wheel drive truck, and he pulls in, and I was like, huh, that's strange. It was the middle of the day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, is everything okay? And he said, oh, yeah, I got something for you. And he had a regular driving truck, and he had a hunting truck, and he was on his hunting truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what in the world does he got? So he said, come back here to the back. And I go back there, and he opens that door, and this 8-week-old black and tan puppy, ears so long she's stepping on them as she comes out of the dog box.
Little female.
Oh, pretty dog. And I said, I can't buy another dog, Preacher Beasley. And he said, no, you ain't buying this dog. She's yours. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I ain't young enough to train another dog. I got them two at the house. That's all I need to hunt. I bred Rebel before you got him to this female, and this was my pick. You can have her.
That's awesome.
So I took her, and she's probably one of the best dogs I ever walked behind. And as a young,
really?
Oh yeah. And as a young man, I've you know, seen a lot of dollar bills hit the tailgate one night, and I let her go and shouldn't have.
Uh-oh.
for way too cheap.
Uh-oh.
But she was
that
just
happens.
She was just one of those, you know, you just get one of those and you start messing with, you know, of course I only had Rebel and I had her, and that was it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now as she starts getting older, I end up getting some dogs from Ed Abel out here in Oklahoma. I got a few dogs that was out of some of his stuff. I got a few dogs out of Gene Hicks's stuff, and I had black and tans. That's what I had. I had black and tans. I had a pair of beagles. I don't know why I had the pair of beagles. I can't even tell you why I had the pair of beagles right now, but I had a pair of beagles.
How was she bred? Do you remember what she was bred like? Was she?
I'd have to go get. I got Rebel's papers downstairs, and I'd have to go get them to remember.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. He went back to the fiddler stuff. I do know that.
I'll be down.
But I'd have to go get the papers to even remember. But she was probably, I don't know, about 7 months old. And of course, back then, you know, they'd say, oh, just to put them in the pen, forget about them until they're about two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you didn't even think about messing with the dog, you know. Well, I didn't have nothing else. So, you know, me and Rebel went to the woods. I just throw her in the truck and take her with me. And I thought, well, it ain't going to hurt nothing. And she's probably about 7 months old. And I've, of course, no tracking system. I'm sitting there on the tailgate. I've done all that competition hunting, no tracking system, not even a collar, nothing. No quick track, no collar, nothing. I'd hunt Florida, Georgia, Alabama, wherever. No tracking system.
These little people don't know what that's even like.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, trust me, I know. You go to a hunt now and everybody's looking at their phone or looking at that Garmin or
yeah, you can see whatever. Their face the whole night.
Yeah. And I'm guilty of it as well. It's definitely probably made me not pay attention to my dog as well as I did back then. But I'm sitting there on the tailgate whittling a stick or something and just listening. And Rebel, he was not the dog of dogs today. You know, he struck a track. He worked a track. He treed that track. He was built a fire if it was cold type dog.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs we have, well, the dog I got right now, you don't build no fire. He's going to get treed before you can ever get the matches out.
Oh, yeah.
So he's down in there grubbing up a track, and I look around, and that puppy's gone. And I thought, I wonder where she went to. And stupid me, I start calling her. It never dawned on me the dogs were coon hunting. The dogs went coon hunting, you know. So I'm calling her. Her name was Scarlett, and I'm calling her. Scarlett, come here. She never come here. All of a sudden, I hear this weird dog open up, and I'm thinking, what is that? No. And then it starts barking, and I've heard her barking and peeing her a time or two, and I thought, well, that sounds like my dog. So I get the gun, and I'm going to her. And she's still trailing, but I'm trying to catch up to her.
Yeah.
And I had a 62 International Scout. And so I get in the Scout, and I'm driving down this field. I throw my dog box out trying to get to her. No joke, broke the doors off the dog box trying to get to her, jumped the terrace and threw the dog box out. My stepdad had to fix it for me. And so I get down the edge of the woods and get out, and she's right there, and she's treed. Rebel went the other direction. She's over here by herself, and she's treed. And I think, I bet you she's got a possum or something. You know, she come across something on the ground and running. I go in there, she got a coon. So I shoot the coon to her.
Wow.
And I come back and put her in the front seat and throw the coon in the back. And that Scout had like benches built in the back. And my dog box was so big it wouldn't fit in between the benches. It sit up on top of the benches. That's why I threw it out. I drive back up halfway up the pasture where I jumped the terrace, throw my dog box in the truck. By this time, I can hear Rebel. He's treed over there. We could drive around over there. He got a coon. I go get him and tie him in the back of the truck, and we go home. So my stepdad fixed my dog box for me. I mean, the doors come open. When he hit it, ripped the doors off of it. Aluminum diamond plate dog box. And he still got the dog box today.
Really?
Yeah. So this goes on for, I don't know, another month or two. Where, you know, we'll go and she'll kind of hang around me sometimes. And then all of a sudden she'll, you know, wander off or whatever. And next thing you know, she's treed. And you go in there, she got a coon. And somebody come and went hunting with me. And then they told somebody else about her. Because that, I mean, that you just didn't see that.
Yeah.
Not any dogs I was around. Mm-hmm. All the dogs I was around, they were a year and a half, 2 years old before they started doing it. She's probably about 12, 13 months old, and I mean, you could just take her by herself. She treated you a coon. And this guy one night come wanted to go see her go.
Word got out.
And he come seen her go, and she went gone. Because if I'd known then what I know now, she would have never left. But yeah, it was too many Benjamins to say no.
I've sold them like that before. Yeah. It's hard to turn down.
Yeah, but That was, let's see, I got rid of the other male dogs I had, black dogs I had, and then she was gone. So I only had Rebel, but I was back to just him. And, you know, he was good for a dump or two. He's getting old and, you know, just arthritis and just couldn't hold up. So me and my wife had met and we'd got married, and her granddad would give us a place, and we moved to Shorterville, Alabama, where her family was from. Had a great place to coon hunt and train puppies there. And I started training, running and hunting and training English dogs for a fella. And
that's where it all started.
That's where something started. I don't know if it all started, but that's where some of it started. That's I'm hopeful.
The turn.
Yeah, it was kind of the turn. I'd done that for, I'd actually hunted some dogs for this fella prior to this too. Only PKC cat, and of course, you know, I'm a PKC hunter.
Oh yeah.
The only PKC cast I'd ever been in. And this would have been, it's been just a little while after I had Rebel. I think I was hunting this, he wanted me to hunt this one blue English female for him. Got scratched from the cast because it said she was face barking. When she treed, she threw her head left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Never seen a dog face bark anybody, but I was beating them so bad the only way they could win was scratch me. Of course, I didn't know the rules very well. First PKC cast I ever been in, and it was the last one for a long, long time. Because I felt like I got cheated. But actually, what happened was I didn't get cheated. I just didn't know the rules good enough to.
Yeah.
As being a kid, good enough to, you know, be able to combat that.
Mm-hmm.
But we get moved up there, and I train I got several puppies going. And then me and that guy had a difference of opinions, and we went our separate ways. And I had just some junk. I had a walker dog. She come in heat at the right time to have puppies to take them to Albany to the Winter Classic and sell them. And we,
me all and them my, other dogs that you hunted, they were all English dogs?
For that guy?
That were hunting for that guy, yeah.
100% English dog. They all kind of tie back into... this Bell female that I got from Morse that's mm-hmm. out of Bluegrass Amos semen, and mm-hmm. they all tie back into that breeding.
Gotcha.
Every one of them.
Gotcha.
And
some of that old stuff.
Yeah. And I liked them. They were good dogs. Mm-hmm. We had a difference of opinion, and we went our separate ways. And I had, I don't know, some stuff that a tree coon, nothing special. And I had this one female. She's a black and white walker dog. She come in heat perfect every year. You can breed her. She'd have a litter of puppies weaned, ready to go at the Winter Classic when it was in Albany. And me and my wife, my oldest daughter, we'd take them down there and sell them, you know, whatever, for extra money or, you know, whatever. And I was just like, I like going to Albany to the Winter Classic. I skipped baseball practice one time to go to Albany. I got kicked off the team, me and a buddy of mine, to go to the Winter Classic. They want to have baseball practice on Saturday morning.
Who would do that?
I know.
During a big coon hunting event.
Yeah. So we skipped baseball practice and got kicked off the team to go to a coon hunt. So then I started hunting a few dogs for... I think the guy's name was Paul Wilson. He had a dog named, it's a walker dog named Tree Talking Jake out of North Alabama. And I hunted some dogs for him. He had a little 5-acre training pen there. Mm-hmm. And that went on for a little while. And then I sold everything and we packed up and moved north. And that's where my coon hunting career I thought was done. I was over with.
You thought it was over with?
Yeah, because we was moving. I mean, I'd never been anywhere but Alabama.
Yeah.
And we're moving to Missouri, so we had rented an apartment, which I had all my years. I'd never lived inside of a city limits before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know how this was going to be, so I couldn't have a dog. So.
Big shock.
Yo, it was. It was big time. And we moved up here, so I got rid of everything but my light. That old Prowler light that QuickTrack sold.
Mm-hmm.
And I still got the light today.
Yeah.
I hadn't been long ordered a battery for it. Still works.
Really?
Yeah. So that ended the coon hunting from, that was in 2007. And I didn't hunt again until 2000, I think it was 13 or 14. The job I worked kind of moved us around a little bit, and they moved us to kind of south central Illinois. And we were there for close to a year. And we were staying in a campground. While I was there, this guy pulls in with a dog box in the back of his truck.
Uh-oh.
And I'm sure my wife went the same thing. She probably went, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately it struck a conversation up. And we get to talking. And he's working a shutdown there. And I don't know what episode it is, but I interviewed him. His name's Wesley Good on the podcast. Mm-hmm. He hunts plot dogs.
I remember that.
And
I remember that podcast.
The only thing I knew about plot dogs from being from the South was people used them for hogs and they was meaner than rattlesnakes. That's the only thing I knew about. And when he said plot dogs, it was like all the wind come out of my sails. You know?
You was like, all excited when you saw the dog.
Oh, yeah.
Until you heard plot.
I was excited and he said plots and I thought, oh, man, you can't coon hunt a plot. Them suckers are mean. So, Wesley said, well, I'm going to be working a lot. If you got time in the evening and don't care to hunt, I got a young dog and he's hunting. And I said, yeah, okay, I don't care. And he had another male dog that was older that I run in a few hunts for him. And
you was in some prime coon hunting country there.
Oh, man. You talk about some coon hunting. Right over on the Wabash River.
Wow.
On the Indiana-Illinois line. Mm. And so the Shucks dog that won the PKC breed race, it's either been 2 or 3 years ago now. This is the dog that was the puppy. And so I started hunting this dog, and we, Mackenzie, my youngest daughter, we call Shug. She's a little bitty. Like, I mean, if you get in any water, her legs were so short and her boots were so short, she'd get her feet wet. I had towed her. So the older dog gets treed down in this water. And I can't find the puppy. Well, I didn't have no tracking system like I said before. Wesley had given me his Garmin 320. Is that what it is? Are they 320 ones with the buttons and the screen like the 430?
Yeah, there was a 220, the gray one.
No, it was orange.
Orange 320.
Yeah, probably. Okay, yeah. 320. So I'm trying to figure out how to use this thing, and I get the other dog caught, and we get back up to this dirt road, and I can hear Shucks, and he's treed, and I'm thinking, you freaking idiot, why are you up here on the hill and the dog's down here where the coon's supposed to be, in next to the water? And so we drive up there. Now, and my wife, bless her heart, she's been great. I had a company truck that the company I worked for provided for me. So I got rid of, you know, my vehicles. I had a company truck for mm-hmm. a long time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't need a truck. My wife had a full-size Yukon.
Mm-hmm.
We took the grinder and cut the slide wings, you know, for the slides on the dog box. You know how they got them turned out where you can grab them and pull them on the Owens dog box?
Yeah.
We cut the slides off so it slid in the back of my wife's Yukon. That's what I was hunting out of. And we just left the dog box in there. We piled groceries on top of it. We went grocery shopping.
True love.
Yeah. So we take the Yukon. We pull up there in this curve. And he's treed. I mean, he's hammering. Out in the middle of this field. And there's one tree in the middle of the field. And, it's late. And I'm mad. And I'm thinking, this dog, I don't know what he's doing up here. I mean, they ain't no field up here. I mean, they ain't nothing up here but oil field up here, oil roads and stuff. So I'm walking out across there. We ain't even supposed to be in there. And as I'm walking, I get probably 150 yards from this tree. It's the only tree in the middle of this field. I just happen to look up, and there's an eyeball looking at me. And he's got a coon. Very first, I think he was, I'd have to ask Wesley to be sure. He's 8 or 9 months old. And I mean, he's just clicking them off. Man, I fell down twice trying to run to him and get to him. I headed him up and had to go all back truck, get the gun, come back in there, shot the coon to him. And anyway, that was my introduction to plot hounds. And Wesley's, I mean, he's a great guy. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better fellow. I mean, he helped me get back into it. I don't know if Tina would say that. She might would say something else about Wesley, but he got me back into coon hunting. But, you know, starting then, that I was kind of like, I think I heard somebody else say, I don't remember who it was, but, you know, it was always, even when I lived here and didn't have a dog, when the fall of the year would roll around and that first little coolness in the air, or you get up early in the morning, it'd be kind of crisp and cool. You kind of get that, like a junkie, get that kind of twitch to you, you know. That would always come to me, and I'd be thinking, man, what would it sound like to have a hound go down through some of these hollers here, you know? Old rebel running down through the holler.
Oh, yeah.
And and so I that never went away. Well, my job decided they wanted me to move from there to North Central Missouri, which coon hunting was great there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a dog. I just had Wesley's, and we moved over there. And I don't remember how I got hooked up with the fella, but ended up getting a blue tick from this guy. And he just gave the dog to me and James, my youngest son. And the dog was a fair dog. He had barked out when he was young, kind of lost his voice. And we, only dog I had, I'd feed him honey, and he got a little bit of his voice back.
Mm-hmm.
And he treed coons. And in those coons up there, we hunted right on Missouri River bottoms. I mean, they were, mm-hmm. man, they were thick as thieves down there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he treed coons in there. So, they were going to move us again back down here around Springfield to take over a project here. And, we moved back down here. And, when we did, I thought, well, you know, I'm gonna have to rent a house, and, you know, cause we'd already sold our camp. We had a camper and they were paying for campgrounds. Well, we sold the camper cause we was tired of being a camper.
Mm-hmm.
We were renting houses now. And I thought, well, I'm gonna have to rent a house, and I don't know if I'll be able to have a hound or, you know, whatever. So I sold him to some boys up in Iowa, and I mean, they just loved him. We moved back down here, and I don't know, it rocks on. I think I got a plot pup from Wesley out of some breeding, and she didn't work out. And then I didn't have a dog for a little while, and I don't know, two or three things happened, and it goes on about I don't know, probably maybe 3 or 4 years I didn't have a back, no dog. We buy this place. It's been 5 or 6 years ago now. We bought the place where we're at now. And we got some land here. And, well, you know, we can, I can kind of let a dog run loose a little bit here.
Oh, yeah.
Dog.
It's nice.
And we hadn't been in here very long. And, man, there was just coons all over this pond down here that I got. I mean, that we'd go outside and there'd be coons up here around the chickens. And, I mean, there's just coons everywhere. And my wife made the mistake, and she said, well, you got that old hog barn up there. You know, that'd probably make a good coon. That's all she said. She said, that'd probably make a good coon pen. That's all she had to say.
Uh-oh.
I started hunting a dog. And, of course, my first instinct was to go back to a black and tan. I found a guy that had a litter of puppies that was fixing to be ready, Michael Barnes out of Arkansas. Me and James went and met him. I don't remember. We met him at a Tractor Supply on 65 south of Harrison. I don't remember what town it is, Marshall or whatever that is down there.
Mm-hmm.
We met Michael. It's on the YouTube channel, all that video. But we met Michael, and, you know, you can see Ranger growing up or whatever. It's all there. And we bought Ranger, and I brought him home, and we had a real good coon population when we moved in here. That first year of Ranger's life, I mean, man, you could just flip a quarter and you can put a puppy on a hot track. And, I mean, he took off quick, like kind of like that little female I had years ago. Then all of a sudden, the coons went bye-bye. I mean, we wasn't shooting them. They just went gone. And
turkeys killed them all.
Turkeys got them. Turkeys got them. Now, the only thing I can tell you is, it's probably about 3/4 mile on down. There's another house old man lives at. And I was coming by, and there was this old coon out in front of his house, just kind of, you know, sickly looking or whatever. And I stopped and was talking to him. He said, well, if you don't care, would you shoot that coon? There's something wrong with it. So I shot it, and it wasn't very long. I noticed fewer and fewer and fewer coons, and no tracks around the pond, and wasn't seeing coons. And so I talked to him later, and he used to trap and stuff. He thinks it had, what, distemper or something. Probably passed it through because they were overpopulated or something. Killed them off, and we still don't have coons now.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That was in what kind of a window of, a stretch of.
Well, Ranger,
how many years?
Ranger was, no, it was about a year.
Oh, it happened within a year's time, just like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had, the coons was so thick on this pond. I used to park my truck right here by this old maple tree, and I had a Ford F-150, had my dog box in it, and where Shug's bedroom is, that used to be mine and Tina's bedroom, we'd walk out, we'd have chairs out there on that porch. We'd go out there and sit. There was a coon standing on top of my dog box. That's how thick the coons were. And then a year later, they were gone. I mean, I ain't seen a coon. I've probably seen 3 or 4 coons here within, say, 5 or 10 mile radius of this house across the road, maybe 4 or 5 times, 6 times.
Wow.
Not very many.
Wow.
And the first year we moved in, I mean, they were everywhere. Ranger was 6 months old, and there's an old high bank rock wall creek over here, and he bayed a little kitten coon in the side of that wall. He was treed every breath. And I thought, what is this puppy doing? I went back, and that blue tick I sold up the guy in Iowa, I went back and bought that blue tick because he's a good puppy dog. But he likes coyotes just a little too much to be right down here. So I go down there. Ranger's got a kitten bayed in the rock wall. And he's about 6 months old. And I take him somewhere else, and he'd split. He'd have a coon. And I mean, he's just really doing good. He'd tree a possum every now and then. And I about had him broke off the possums. And he was real bad when he was young. He was real gamey. And he'd put an armadillo in the hole before you say, don't do it. I mean, he just would. But I got him broke off those pretty quick.
Yeah.
The possums, I guess you call him broke, but he had 2 locates. And the one that sounded really good, that's the one you better not tree him on.
That was the possum.
That was the possum. But he's just going to throw it, and then he's going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of right before he died. That's how it was. So, anyway, he got sick. We hauled him to the vet, and they tried to treat him for different things, and nothing worked. And he ended up one morning, my wife said, you're going to have to take him to the vet and put him down. I done moved him in the house. I mean, he was my buddy. And my wife said, you're going to take that dog to the vet and put him down. It ain't fair to him.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So we let him out, and I said, I'm going to put my clothes on. I'm going to call the vet and take him up there. And I go out the back door, and he's laying about halfway between here and the dog kennels in the yard. He's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I buried him, and so here I am now with I think I've already sold the blue ticket at this point, because that joker was a coyote running. I mean, whoo, he could sure smoke a coyote.
And we got him.
Yeah. So that kind of put me back with without a dog, and I ended up buying this, going back to English dogs, I ended up buying that star female I had, you hunted mm-hmm. or something.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit older dog. And
I've just realized something. You've owned several of about every breed.
Everything but a red bone. I did own a...
Well, you started with red bones.
Yeah, my dad had red bones, yeah. But I've never actually had
you're
one.
You're not claiming that you...
No, I'm not claiming those.
Okay.
I did have a leopard hound once. They never made it to be very old for her. I had to get rid of it. Me and her couldn't get on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little quirky, you know. You kind of got to have one you can get along with.
You've officially tried them all.
Pretty much, yeah.
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 That's much. Impressive.
Yeah. And then I got her, and I had, and she was bred when I bought her. She had puppies. I tried to keep one or two of the puppies, and they was just crazy. I mean, not crazy like I like. They was crazy, crazy.
You like them crazy?
I like them hunting crazy. Yeah. I don't like them crazy, crazy. So I got rid of the pups, and I bred her. That's when me and you met. I called you, and she come in heat. I wanted to breed her to loan her.
Yeah.
I was actually, me and my daughter was flipping through Coonhound Bloodlines, and I said, I'd like to have another Blue English. And I thought, I can't remember the other dog now. There was another dog far off that was a Blue English male dog. I thought, I'll holler to him and breed her,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe I'll get me a Blue English male or female puppy out of it. And so I was flipping through the Coonhound Bloodlines, or I got the Coonhound Bloodlines in, and I think it was already open on the table or something. I don't remember how exactly it happened, but I was flipping through it, and I shut it, and there's this blue dog on the cover.
An old plug.
Old plug.
Yeah.
And it was loner.
Yeah.
So I think I had maybe called you or texted you, or I don't remember how it happened. We talked a little bit through text, and anyway, it worked out where she come in heat, or brought her down and bred her, and had three of the prettiest puppies that, and my wife, well, you heard her earlier talking about them, and that was the three puppies she was talking about. I mean, they're the smartest puppies we ever seen, and I got something in the kennel. I don't know what it was, parvo or what. Anyway,
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Anyway, we took them back and forth to the vet trying to save them. We couldn't save them. So anyway, we had to bleach the kennels and end up getting that other chemical and put on there and, you know, whatever. I think it was, I think you put me on to that Walker dog. You did.
I put you on to a Walker dog?
Yeah, in Kansas.
I'm surprised, really, with the old toothless dog, why you ain't Walker dog man to this day.
Well, I'll be honest here. There's a guy that's got a female Walker dog that I think a lot. Well, there's two guys actually. I've been around two this week. One of them was with you at the World Hunt.
Yeah.
And that she's the real deal.
She's a nice outfit.
I mean, that's a nice dog. She's not my color, but she's my build, and she I think she's the real deal.
Not your color.
I don't like all that brown on them like that. I like a black and white.
She was a blanket back.
Mm. Yeah, I know, but she had a lot of brown and red on her.
Yeah. She was good looking.
Mary Jane, is that her name?
Yeah.
The Perryman's dog?
Yeah.
I mean, she's a good dog.
She is a coon trigger.
And I tell you who the other fellow is, and it's Robert Burns, the Propane Jane female.
Yeah. I heard you talk about her a lot.
I've drew her a couple of times, and I'm telling you, that dog is the real deal.
I think she made the TOC.
I'm pretty sure she did, too.
The top 104 or 100, whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be this weekend.
Yeah. She's a real nice outfit, for sure. She's a coon trigger. But I like those two. I kind of like the way they move around, and I didn't really get to hear Mary Jane as much as I'd like to, because y'all kind of got separated there at the World Hunt. But
that was a bad deal. That the funny thing about that is, you know, when we come out of the hotel and she was standing over on the tailgate. What did I tell you? I said, now you know I'm not a walker dog man.
Yep.
But I know a good looking dog when I see one, and that right there, that's a good looking female. Yep. That's a good looking walker dog, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, if things would have been a little bit different, she would have probably been the one that would have went through on that round.
Yeah, that was unfortunate deal for him, yeah.
But the Propane Jane dog, she's got the looks that I like. She got a good mouth on her. I like the way the dog looks. And I mean, and if
she's black and white, isn't she?
She's more black and white.
Blanket back, black.
Kind of an open white spots. Yeah. But, she's... I could probably hunt one like that, but
yeah, I'd say
I'd have to find the one that suited me just right. But my wife, on the other hand, won't hardly let me bring one up here, because I had a little walker dog when we first got married that was called Lizard.
Oh,
that was her name. And she about ruined my wife on walker dogs, because she thinks they're all crazy. Because this dog would love you and pet you, and I had her on a chain.
No wonder me and your wife get along so good.
I know. So I had her on the chain, and you go out there and feed her, and she just love all over you and pet you, and she's probably 6 or 7 months old. When you cut, I don't care how much you let her run, when you cut her off that chain, she was wilder than a buck deer. And the only way you could put your hands on her was I had a block barn with a man door that walked in there. I'd have to put the feed inside that block barn and leave that man door open. I'd have to stand at the back window at the kitchen and watch. And when she went in that block door, boy, you better run too.
No way.
Yes, you had to run and shut the door and then ease in there. And when you got in the building with her, you had to corner her every time. This dog never had a hand put on her that I put on her anyway. And we just loved her. The kids played with her. And she was fine on chain. But as soon as you let her go, you couldn't catch her. You had to corner her to catch her. And that and bark.
Couldn't have done it.
And bark. This, when she was, she even when she's eating in the food bowl, she's barking. I mean, just crazy. So I think that ruined
barking while she's eating.
While she's eating, she's eating
no
kibble
way.
Out of the bowl, and she's barking the whole time. I mean, she just crazy. So, needless to say, we didn't have her, but yeah, I think I ended up working with her for 2 or 3 months trying to get her brought around where I, you know, handle her a little better. And
that must have been in your patience days.
But yeah, she didn't stay very long. So, but anyway, fast forward to now, I got Star, and she gets some age on her, and I thought, I need to find something a little younger. You put me onto this walker dog in Kansas. I don't remember the guy's name now.
I don't remember either.
So I go out there and buy him, and
he was a pretty good bred rascal, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, he's Schooner River bred, top
and
bottom.
Top and bottom. Yeah.
Come from. I talked to Mr. Wimp about him.
Yeah.
He come from down there originally, and ended up posting some pictures of him. Some fella wanted to buy him, and they bought him, and that's when Creeper come on the scene.
Yeah.
And I went back to. Got rid of the walker dog. I had a couple of black and tans in there I didn't really cover, but they wasn't really much to write home about either. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. I got, well, as of this podcast, Creeper is still here. Let's just put it that way. And I got Pup out of Loner, and I've got my semen pup out of Amos.
Yeah.
And a crazy squirrel dog.
Hopefully one of them will turn out.
Yeah, hopefully both of them. Okay.
Well, I
told you I'd ramble for about an hour.
Yeah.
We've done it.
You've done a good job. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it a lot. I like them stories.
Yeah. Well,
it's pretty funny.
They several of them. So.
I don't think anybody will forget the toothless walker dog. How could you forget about that?
Oh, I know. Man, I'm telling you what, I would take him again today, that's for sure.
If you, so of all of them, you've tried them all, I got to ask, so what's your breed of choice? You've tried them all. I mean, you have test drove, everything. So if somebody was going to say, you know, what kind of, what do you like to hunt? I mean, but you could say, I like them all. They all look good under a coon. But
it's kind of a complex question here. This is why. I'll hunt anything that would, if you got a poodle that we can single register.
You're getting radical now.
Or X breed or whatever, that a tree, a coon regular, I'll hunt that joker. I just want to walk to a dog, especially in these hills. I want to walk to a dog got a coon.
Yeah.
I'd like for one to sound like a hound when he's doing it and don't mess around doing it.
You want to look like a poodle, but sound like a hound?
Yeah. Boy, that'd be something. A lot of guys probably talk their wives into that.
Would you like consider yourself like if you was going to classify yourself as a certain breed man, would you say, hey, I'm a black and tan man? Or because I know you kind of like the black and tans.
I do, but I haven't been with one. That one you drew, he seemed like he moved around real good.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't walk the cast. So I didn't really get to see him operate or her. I don't even remember if male or female. But
which one?
I had the RQE over here just a few weeks ago, remember? Loner got left-handed.
Oh, yeah, right yeah.
And
he, oh, yeah, he male
treed,
dog.
Yeah, yeah, he treed two or three times
yeah.
in there.
And, yeah.
You know,
I liked him.
Yeah, I liked him. What I heard of
yeah.
it sounded like he moved around real good. Okay. Kind of like I don't like one to blow the country. I like one to tree them as they come to them, but move around. And if they got to blow the country, blow it.
He didn't need to there.
Yeah. So, I do like black and tans. I don't know if my membership's current or not, but I usually keep my membership current with Black and Tan Association. But I just, like I said, I haven't found one I like. I've always liked English dogs ever since I hunted them years ago, and I'm a member of the English Association. And after hunting the plot dogs, I really liked the plot dogs. If I could find one that that really suited me, that I liked, had the right mouth and moved around. I guess my thing is, I just want to hunt something that nobody else has, which I know with English dogs, I'm not really doing that, but I also, with English dogs, I kind of like those that you don't like, that look kind of weird, or...
Did I?
Yeah, you don't really like the same type of dog I like, so...
Look weird, act weird, sound weird.
Well,
yeah,
that's Creeper.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Creeper moves around really, really good. Yeah, I mean, he just... If he's not got the P word on his brain...
Yeah.
He moves around really, really good, and can get coons treed, and I like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big Blue English fan. I do like those. They are pretty.
Oh, I know you do.
So, it ain't that I won't hunt a walker dog. It's just when you pull up at a hunt, everybody and their brother's got one.
Yeah.
I just want something different.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my goal. I'm striving to put at a high level. I'm trying to find something I can hunt at a high level. And I may have to hunt a walker dog to get it done.
You might.
But before I do, I'm going to go back through this whole list of breeds here, and I'm going to exhaust that. And then if you see me show up at a hunt, you'll know, with a walker dog, you'll know, well, he's been through them all. Because I'm going to try my best to put something different. I'd like to see something different. I'd love to see one of my English dogs or one of your English dogs win the PKC World, go to the Nationals, win the Nationals. I'd like to win something at Super Stakes, some truck hunts, some trucks, you know, some pro sports stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But the only way that's going to happen, I'm going to take people that's out there pushing them and just hang with it and breeding it, kind of like, you know, with you alone, or breeding this, breeding that, trying to figure out what will work. I think Brandon Gaines does a real good job of trying to accommodate everybody he can to try to work things around, try different crosses to get what works. To you know,
it is.
So I'd love to see a English dog win PKC World. You know, here more recently.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. Maybe the Nationals. Some young dogs win some Super Stakes. You don't really see a whole lot, but walker dogs in pro sport. But, I'd like to see a different color there, And it ain't nothing against the Walker dogs. I've always been that person. If everybody drove a red truck, I'd drive a yellow truck.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted something different. And I mean, there's a lot of good Walker. Like I said, that propane Jane dog that Robert Burns is hunting, that's, besides that one you drew at the world, that's one of the better Walker dogs I've been in the woods with.
They are nice.
And, you know, Aaron Gamble, he hunts a cast winning blue dog.
Yeah.
I mean, that crush dog that he's got, that's a cast winning joker. And I don't know how I'm ever going to get him to sit still, but I'm going to try to get Aaron to sit down one day and get him on here.
You know, they don't have a cordless headset.
I know.
Huh?
I know. But if I can get him, he's agreed to do it. We just got to get it lined up.
He's a creeper in a human form.
Yeah.
You'd have a hard time getting this headset on him.
I know.
Yeah. Once you got him in here, he'd tear pictures off the walls and the table upside down and everything else.
Hopefully I can take all this and go to the Coon Club. I can get him hemmed up over there when he's talking to somebody else.
You have to get him by yourself.
Yeah. And
lock the doors.
Yeah. But he'd be a good one. That dog he's got, I mean, he is a cast winner.
Yeah, he sure is.
I don't know. I need to call PKC and
Old Crush.
See how many casts he's won, but he's won a bunch. He placed, not this year, but last year, placed second in the PKC truck hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year, he got a ticket to get back.
Got a ticket to win, yeah.
Yeah.
Or ticket to go, yeah.
Yeah, and he mainly hunts $35 open events, and he's won a heap of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm not dedicated, I guess, to one thing right now. I'm dedicated to English, and I've been dedicated to him for a long time now.
You're a dedicated English guy.
So.
I see it on your face right here. They can't see it.
Yeah, right now I'm speaking English. That's
you
all
are.
I'm speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's possibility that Creeper's going to have a new address, and I've kind of put some feelers out there. You've got some feelers out there for me, and we're you know, kind of looking at some different options. And one of the options I've been looking at is some black and tans, but
he's an English dog, man.
I just ain't found one.
If you haven't voted yet.
Oh God, here we go.
Yeah. If you haven't voted yet,
it's over. It's closed.
Jason, is it closed?
I think it'll be closed by the time this comes out.
It will. Okay. Yeah, it will be.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say if you haven't voted and this gets released, go to the United English Breeders Fanciers Association and vote for Jason Snellgrove.
You better vote for Mr. Troy.
For president.
You better vote for Mr. Troy for president.
And you got Troy Shellhorn on there too, so.
Troy does. I see Troy on Facebook raising money. He does a lot of good things. So.
He does.
You got anything else?
Yeah, I gotta know if competition hunting, pleasure hunting. If you couldn't competition hunt, would you still be coon hunting?
Oh, yeah, I'd be loading the dog up tonight.
Yeah.
And I know what dog I'd load.
You'd just be pleasure hunting.
Pleasure hunting, I already know what dog
I
have.
I think I got a good idea too.
Yeah,
but you couldn't comp hunt. You'd still be pleasure hunting. It doesn't matter.
I'd have to have the, like, I wouldn't pleasure hunt Creeper.
Yeah.
But that,
because he's not a pleasure to hunt or what?
Well,
no, I know.
He ain't a pleasure style dog.
Yeah.
That female you got down there at your house that I hunted a little while.
Yeah.
If competition hunts ends today,
mm-hmm.
and all we can do is pleasure hunt, I'm coming to get her, and that's all I'm going to hunt. She got a good mouth on her.
Come get her.
She got a good mouth on her, and if she gets treated, she's going to have a coon at the end of it. But, yeah, I'm still going.
You're staying hooked no matter what.
I competition hunt here and there coming up through the years, but, I mean –
Use pleasure hunter.
I've always been a pleasure hunter first, and you know I'm a competitive person. I played football, played baseball, I've coached basketball now, and I like to win.
Oh yeah.
And but you know I like going to the hunts because people like Aaron Gamble they make it fun. You know, you get to hear these stories, and I mean he is just a hoot to be around and listen.
Oh,
to him.
Oh yeah,
tells.
He is.
He is a story. He's a Clay Newcomb of storytelling.
He is. You got to get him on here.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, I go and I want to win, you know. I mean, I'm aggravated when I don't win a little bit at my dog if it's his fault, and I'm aggravated at me if it's my fault if I don't win. But, you know, when the rubber meets the road, if I can't competition hunt, I'm going to find a dog that sounds like I want one to sound, and I'm going to still be hunting.
You just hear a lot of guys talking about that, you know. You'll hear it on,
yeah,
people talk about it on Facebook and stuff. And
I know a lot of guys that are that way, that, you know, if competition ends, they're done.
Yeah.
But and that's fine. I mean, to each their own. But for me, if it ends, I'm still gonna have something around to hunt. It may be that crazy feist I got up there, but I'm gonna have something up there, to turn loose. What else you got?
I don't think I got anything else for you. Yeah, I appreciate listening to all this. I hope everybody else enjoyed it.
Well,
I thought it was a good idea to have, you know.
Well,
I thought about that a lot listening to podcasts and stuff. The reason I wanted to do this was I've thought about other guys, you know, like, hey, it'd be cool if they kind of switch it up, and the people that's doing these podcasts, why don't somebody interview them? You know, I'd kind of like to know what this guy's story is, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'd be cool, like, for somebody to interview Clay Newcomb or, yeah, you know, or whoever, you know.
Well, I've tried.
Yeah, trust me. You have?
I've yeah, reached out to him.
Yeah.
But
it'd be, I thought it'd be good. Appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate
sharing with us.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I enjoyed the stories. There was a few of them I had never heard before. Kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah. Well, that was just some of them. I got more. There's a lot of coon hunting went on, especially back in the day. But yeah, if you ain't got anything else, I guess we'll wrap this one up.
Well, let's wrap it up.
All right. Sounds good to me. I've rambled for a while.
You hear me in there, Judge?
I got you. All right. Till next time. We'll see you then.
Thanks, guys, for listening to the Coonhound Collective podcast today. We really appreciate you taking your time out of your day to listen to the podcast. If you don't mind, head over to Facebook and give us a like, and head over to Instagram and give us a follow. It's both at The Coonhound Collective. Also, if you would like to reach us here at The Coonhound Collective, you can reach us at thecoonhoundcollective@gmail.com. If there's someone that you would like to hear on the podcast or a product that you would like to hear talked about, please send it to thecoonhoundcollective@gmail.com. Thanks again. Have a great day.